Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Facing the Beast: Courage, Faith, and Resistance in a New Dark Age, is a nonfiction work by Naomi Wolf that blends political commentary, personal memoir, and spiritual reflection. Framed by the author's own experience of being pushed out of elite circles, the book examines her response to the COVID-19 era, the public health establishment, and the wider culture of censorship and conformity she believes emerged during that period. It is not a detached policy study. Instead, it uses Wolf's personal transformation as the organizing structure for arguments about media trust, democratic decay, medical authority, and moral responsibility. The book is positioned for readers interested in dissenting journalism, contemporary politics, and critiques of institutional power. Across its chapters, Wolf argues that crises can reveal deeper conflicts about freedom, truth, and human dignity, and she connects those conflicts to both constitutional questions and spiritual ones. The result is a polemical but highly personal book that seeks to turn public controversy into a broader inquiry into conscience and civilization. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a personal pilgrimage from insider status to public outcast. One of the book's defining features is its use of autobiography as a political framework. Wolf presents herself as someone who once moved comfortably among democratic and media elites, then found herself ostracized after challenging prevailing narratives about the pandemic. This structure matters because the book is not organized around abstract theory alone. It shows how reputational loss, deplatforming, and social exclusion can reshape a writer's worldview. The personal arc gives the argument emotional force and helps explain why the book treats institutional dissent as a lived experience rather than a slogan. It also allows Wolf to connect private transformation with public crisis, suggesting that political awakening often comes through conflict with powerful systems. Readers are asked to see the author's change in outlook as evidence of how pressure from institutions can expose hidden assumptions about loyalty, conformity, and permitted speech. Secondly, a critique of pandemic-era authority, censorship, and medical messaging. The book's central political target is the response to COVID-19, especially what Wolf sees as a pattern of coercion, censorship, and overreach. She argues that public health institutions and mainstream media often treated dissent as disloyalty rather than as legitimate inquiry. This section of the book is important because it ties together multiple domains: medicine, journalism, government, and public debate. Wolf uses them to argue that democratic societies become vulnerable when institutional power is protected from scrutiny. Her critique is not limited to one policy issue. It extends to how information was managed, which questions were allowed, and which voices were excluded. The book is especially focused on the consequences of suppressing uncomfortable discussion, presenting censorship as a mechanism that deepens public distrust rather than resolving crisis. In that sense, the pandemic becomes both the topic and the test case for a broader claim about the fragility of open society. Thirdly, free speech, legacy media, and the politics of thought enforcement. Another major topic is the role of media and ideological policing in shaping public discourse. Wolf argues that mainstream institutions often reward conformity and punish independent questioning, especially when controversial topics touch progressive assumptions. The book treats this as more than ordinary bias. It presents it as a form of thought enforcement that narrows the range of acceptable debate. This analysis is significant because it widens the book beyond pandemic critique into a larger argument about cultural power. Wolf suggests that media institutions do not merely report events, but help define moral boundaries, often deciding in advance which perspectives may be voiced. By focusing on deplatforming and social exclusion, the book shows how reputational pressure can function as a substitute for argument. Readers who are interested in press freedom will find that the book is less concerned with technical media criticism than with the deeper civic question of whether a society can remain democratic when disagreement itself becomes suspect. Fourthly, reproductive rights, bodily autonomy, and suspicion of pharmaceutical power. Wolf also connects her political critique to questions of the body, especially reproductive health and medical freedom. The book's discussion of vaccine injury concerns and pharmaceutical influence reflects a larger concern with who controls bodily risk and how institutions frame that control. This is one reason the book resonates with readers interested in autonomy and informed consent. It treats the body as a site where political power, medical authority, and corporate interests intersect. The emphasis on reproductive issues gives the argument particular intensity, since Wolf links bodily vulnerability to broader claims about civilizational decline. Rather than presenting these questions as separate policy debates, she threads them into a single critique of technocratic power. The result is a book that sees health policy not as neutral administration, but as a field where trust, profit, and coercion can collide. That framing makes the book provocative, but it also explains its appeal to readers who want a skeptical account of how medical institutions operate under pressure. Lastly, spiritual language, moral struggle, and the search for meaning in crisis, beyond politics. The book uses spiritual and metaphysical language to interpret the crisis of recent years. Wolf describes her experience in terms of good and evil, moral forces, and a struggle that exceeds ordinary partisan conflict. This dimension distinguishes the book from standard political memoirs, because it claims that public turmoil cannot be fully understood through policy or ideology alone. The spiritual framing gives the book a diagnostic function it asks readers to consider whether institutional failures are also symptoms of a deeper moral disorder. For some readers, this will be one of the book's most unusual and controversial elements, but it is central to its identity. It helps explain why Wolf moves from public controversy to questions of faith, conscience, and human dignity. The book therefore offers not just critique but interpretation, inviting readers to see modern political life as a moral drama in which truth-telling has ethical and even spiritual consequences. In conclusion, Facing the Beast will likely appeal to readers of political memoir, dissenting journalism, and books about institutional trust after the COVID era. It is especially relevant for those who want a first-person account of how a public intellectual can move from insider status to open conflict with elite opinion. Readers interested in free speech, media criticism, medical ethics, reproductive autonomy, and the cultural effects of censorship will find the book directly engaged with those subjects. Its practical value lies less in offering a neutral policy roadmap than in sharpening the reader's sense of how narratives are controlled, how dissent is punished, and how crises can expose hidden assumptions in public life. Intellectually, it stands out because it combines three modes that are often kept separate: memoir, political polemic, and spiritual reflection. Compared with similar books on the pandemic or media bias, it is more personal and more metaphysical, making its argument feel less like a report and more like a witness statement. Readers who want a challenging, highly opinionated account of recent upheaval will find it distinctive even when they disagree with its conclusions. If you would like to support Naomi Wolf, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.